Accession number 27786, Mr. Jack Fisk, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Fisk?
Yeah, I was born on the 27th of April, 1923. And I was born at Highgate, North London, and I lived there until I was 5. I then moved to Finchley, East Finchley, and I lived at 352 High Road. I lived there until from there I went to school.
Now hang on a bit, can you tell us a bit about your family background?
Well, the family background was that my father was an inspector on the trams, and my mother, well, she was she died at 54, so she I don't know her age yet, when I was so young. But
was it a comfortable upbringing? Were you reasonably well off?
Not for me, because I was illegitimate, I was fostered. The two, mother and father, which I knew at that time, and I had a brother and a sister, and of course, in those circumstances, you get the third choice of anything.
It's quite a difficult childhood.
Yes, it was. When I look back on it, I found it very difficult. And I found that it wasn't always truthful what I was told. And when I was adopted officially, which at the age of 13 and a half, I had to go to the Highgate Police School, not for anything that I was told about adoption or anything. It was because there was a mistake on my birth certificate, which was lies. And when I look back on all these different other things, I seem to have lost the respect of the adopted mother and father. I didn't really find out about myself until I came home on leave from the Navy, and I was told by a woman in the district, and I went home and asked my mother if was anything she had to tell me about myself, and she absolutely denied it in the first instance until she conversed with my father, and then they came out with it. And whatever respect I had then, I lost it. As a matter of fact, I returned early from my leave, but I never forgot.
Now, what about your education? Tell us about the schools you went to.
The education I went to, St Martin's, St Martin's,
the junior school.
Junior school. And then from there on, from when I was 11, I went to the older school, commonly named Long Lane School, and I was there until I left school altogether, which was the age of just 14.
Now, how did you do at school? What kind of an education did you get at those two schools?
Well, when I first got there, I was, I admit myself, I was shocking, but I blamed it on the teachers, and in the end 12 months I had very good teachers, and I came first, second, and then first in the class, and that was the last certificate which I had, which I've got there.
Was there any subjects you particularly liked or disliked?
Yes, handicraft ones, woodwork, metalwork, and bookbinding. I got a certificate from the headmaster suggesting that I should be put to be an apprentice to a trade, and I was immediately put in an office as a filer or office work.
Now, why was that? What job? Why did you go?
Well,
that
probably
job?
Because I got a shilling or two more money than that particular job than what I would have done if I had gone for an apprenticeship.
So what were you doing? Which office were you in?
I was in Rifle Tucks in Moorgate, which I think got bombed during the war, but it was a Christmas card factory, office work where they did the cards.
And you were just filing and
yes,
general office?
In the office.
Did you enjoy the work?
No. And then...
How long did you do that for then?
Well, about 4 weeks. And then I went to... I had an uncle in the post office who was going to work wonders for me. And he got me into the post office. And it was at Smithfield Market. And I was dressed up in a pillbox hat and everything. My mother was didn't like me going out in uniform and all that kind of thing, and so that didn't last very long. I think I was only there about 4 or 5 weeks before I had to turn that in.
And what did you do then?
Then I went to Perry's. That Perry's is a car manufacturers and distributors, and I was in the middle and the body shop, and I was there I just think about 4 or 5 months. I did buy £5 worth of tools. How I got the money I don't know, but I had to work Saturday mornings for 2 shillings, a shilling which my mother claimed for the keep. But anyway,
what other jobs did you do?
Well, this Paris, I went to then, and we used to do the bodybuilding.
You stuck at Paris?
Yeah, I stuck there for all 5 or 6 months, and then it didn't suit my mother because I wasn't getting enough money. I was only getting 10 shillings a week, and they paid me 9 and 4 pence because they stopped the rest for stamp.
So where did you go then? Sim?
Is it?
Standard Telephones at New Southgate. I went there, was quite some time there. It was during the war time, actually.
So now, yes. What were you doing when the war broke out?
I was at Standard Telephones.
Right. Now, and what were you doing there?
I was in the machine shop on the driller, and we had and at that time during the war.
Now, hang on, we'll come back. What do you remember about the start of the war, the actual day war broke out? Do you remember hearing the broadcast?
Oh, yes, I did, yeah.
What do you remember of that?
Well, it was Sunday morning, and we were listening to the same as everybody else, listening to the wireless. And when it was declared, we immediately got the shovels and spades out and started digging the hole for the Anderson shelter. And
now, tell us about that. How did you prepare to build an Anderson shelter? And what was it like when you were in?
Well, they got delivered, of course, from the council, and all the nuts and bolts in a bag, and we had to do it ourselves. Had to dig the hole out and fill it all up, made it nice and comfortable. Unfortunately, the first day of heavy rain, it filled up with water, and everybody had a job of bailing it out.
Did it stay? I mean, you're at the bottom of the hill there. Well, you're in a valley almost, aren't you?
Yeah.
Did it flood frequently?
Oh, yes, yes, it flooded frequently. And you had to pile it out frequently.
What was it like in there?
Well, I personally didn't go in there too much. I used to stop in bed, but they said it was quite comfortable, you know.
Did they have bunks in there? Or
yes, yeah, they made their own bunks, yeah.
What about the blackout?
The blackout was strictly adhered to because there were wardens, which I myself became a warden at that time. Nobody showed the light.
Now, how did you stop the light? What method did your foster mum or whatever use to stop the light getting out? I mean,
it was blackout curtains, which usually black material, and they were closed, and that was that. You know,
it worked.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody got in the habit, I think, of saying watch at night, you know, when you go out the door and all that kind of thing, you know.
What about you joined the air raid precautions unit, did you?
Yes,
were
I
you
did.
A warden or an assistant
yes, I was a warden then.
Now tell me what your duties were as a warden.
The duties were the station, the air raid station was in an empty house opposite where I lived, so it was quite handy, and we did shifts of patrolling the streets, and also on the phone, did turns on the phone. And
what was it like patrolling around the streets of Eastwood?
It wasn't too bad, except for the time that when, of course, the anti-aircraft guns, because the shrapnel was coming down like rain, and of course, if it hit you, you was in trouble.
Now, where were the anti-aircraft guns based?
At Summers Lane. You know, Summers Lane, there was a unit there, and I believe there were 7 and 8 guns. And also there was a unit, actually they called it the gun station at that time. Then also there was a unit at Whetston on the... the Oakley Road, just up Oakley Road there, but there was 7 or 8 guns there.
And they, when they fired, the shrapnel came down on East Finchley?
Well, yeah, you never knew, where there was, it was shrapnel, of course, and it spread quite a bit. Right.
Now, what would you do, so you're going around the streets, it's pretty dark, what equipment would you have? Anything?
Well, you'd have a tin hat, we had tin hats, and we had overalls, and things like that. Gas mask, of course.
And what would you do when you saw a light?
We'd go and knock and tell them, but usually they were so quick, you know, as soon as you knocked, they went out. But it wasn't, the warden's job wasn't entirely that. It was, if an incident, then you report it, and me being too young, I was running backwards and forwards because there was no phones in those, not the hand phones in those days.
So you were acting as a runner?
Yeah. Lots of forms to fill in when an incident happened.
Now, do you remember any of the incidents when the bombing?
Well, the one particular that affected East Finchley is the parachute mines. Two came down, they usually dropped in pairs, and one was dropped in the Finchley High Road, which I believe there was, if I can remember right, about 11 people killed.
Whereabouts did it fall?
In the High Road, top of Crichton Avenue, and where and damage was right up to the co-op in the High Road.
So where in fact they've built some flats now?
Yes,
in the hole.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but then the other one fell on the Army Barracks, Middlesex Regiment Army Barracks, which is quite near my house, and blew our
windows. You mean the territorial thing?
Yeah.
Just by.
But that used to be the Middlesex Regiment, the barracks.
Now, what's your memory of those two incidents? Were you called to either of them?
Yes, I don't think I was on the duty as a warden that particular night, but I was at home and the windows blew in, like, you know, and that's how all the windows got.
Do you know what date that was?
No.
It was before you went in the army, though.
Navy.
Yeah. Any other bombing on East Finchley? Was that the main
thing? There were several, especially unexploded bombs.
So what would you do when an exploded bomb?
Only report it, that's all. And then from there it's gone to the other bomb disposal and that. It's just reported it to the base.
But there weren't much. Well, there wasn't many bombs.
No, not round in that area. I believe in other parts of Finchley there was quite. Pryor's was a very big one. It was a big shop in Tally-ho in North Finchley, and that was completely burnt out. But that's about. Well, I can't remember all the incidents really in a long time ago.
Now. So you were still working at... How did the war affect...
This was only part-time, by the way.
Yeah, you were still working at the telephone.
And then after the telephone, turned the telephone, I went to Sims Motor Units.
Now, why did you leave the telephone business and go to Sims?
The shifts for so long, there were 12-hour shifts, and you had to work 5 days and have 2 days off. And or 5 nights and 2 nights off, and I found out a lot, you know, for the job I was doing, and so I went to Sims Motor Units, which is only half a mile from where I lived.
Now, what was Sims doing? That was it a motor factory or what?
Yeah, components. Yeah.
And what were they making?
They were making. Aero parts and also magnetos and starters and dynamos for the army. And
what were you doing?
I was an electrical inspector.
And what did that involve?
That involved inspecting parts that were made and drilled and everything on the shop floor. And I inspected the last part, sort out any bad ones.
Now that sounds like quite a decent job, quite a responsible job.
It was. I didn't particularly like it all that much, but I did stick to it until I went into the Navy.
So you did it. When did you start? What? 1940 to 1942.
Around about 1940, I think. Yes, or 42. Yeah.
Now, anything else about you? I mean, what about rationing? What effect did rationing have on your life? Food and clothes?
Well, of course, it didn't have too much to do with me because I wasn't old enough. It was taken care of by my mother. Like, she kept all the coupons and things like that. But that was that. I mean, you didn't handle anything in the food line.
You didn't miss it? You had enough to eat?
No.
What about clothes?
Well, as far as I remember, I had enough hand-me-downs.
And you weren't a member of... Because you were warden, ARP warden, that's you weren't in the Home Guard?
No, that was Civil Defence.
Now, anything else you remember, or any other incidents you remember before you decided to join... before you joined up?
Not really, I don't think, no.
Now, you were called up, weren't you?
Yeah.
Now, tell me, what was the procedure?
Before that, I did volunteer for the Air Force.
Now, tell me about that. Why the Air Force?
Because all the lads were joining the Air Force at that time.
So what happened? Where did you go?
I was called up to go to Oxford for 3 days for tests. And I did these tests, and they told me that I'd passed as an air gunner. When I got back to the firm, Sims Motor Unit, they told me I was in the reserve job, and I couldn't go. And so I let that trot. Then the Navy papers came through, or the more papers come through for calling up because the job got de-reserved. And I put down the Navy because all the lads were joining the Navy at that time.
So you were just really going with what your mates were
doing.
Yeah,
that's right, yeah.
Now, what was the procedure for the call-up? You were called up on, the 13th of April, 1942. Yeah, that's what it says on your form. We're looking at your service record.
Yeah.
What happened? What was the procedure for being called up? Was there a medical...
Well, you got your papers, and you had to go to a... where was it? I think I had to go and get a medical.
Now, do you remember the medical? Was it strict?
Well, it's strip off. But and then that was it. And then after that, you got your calling up papers, which were to HMS Collingwood.
That's at Fareham. Near Port.
Near
Southampton, isn't it?
Portsmouth.
Near Portsmouth, of course. Yeah. Now. What happened when you went that? Now you went that's in April 1942. You went there. What do you remember of the trip down there? Had you done much travelling about?
Not a lot of travelling. No, it was a new thing for me. You know, when we got to Fareham, they made all the transport for us. But I remember the first person that I saw in Collingwood was a school friend of mine who was in my class at school. He was on the gate as a guard. Unfortunately, I never saw him anymore because he went and died on his first ship and got killed. But I learned about that when I got back on the first leave.
Now, what sort of a reception did you get? Because, you know, you're arriving as a civilian. You're going to join the Navy. Yeah. How do they actually take you? You know, that first day.
Yes, you get a chief petty officer come out of the guard room door, and you have to get formed up there. Then he designates you a hut. Mine was 5Q, which is 5 quarterdeck. And you keep that hut for the time you're in Collingwood. And it was very good, indeed. Very strict on the cleaning.
Now tell me about your hut. What was the hut like?
Oh, the hut was quite good. It was quite warm in there. I mean, going in the summer, I didn't feel the cold. But you had to get up at half past 6 in the morning.
Okay. What was the bed like? You know, what sort of space did you have?
All right, we had I think there was about 25 to 30 of us billeted in this hut, and the bedding was quite good.
Do you have a locker or?
And a locker, yes, yeah. Each one had a locker, and of course we had to have the kit inspections. Where
now, what about issue of your kit first? What were you kitted out with?
Second day there, you're there, and you had the injections, which was 2 in the arm, and of course the next thing they do, they take you down to get your kit.
And did the vaccinations have any effect on you?
Well, didn't have much effect, but when you try to get your jumper on, it was a bit of a job. There was some people were affected more than others.
How were you?
I was all right. Some of them faint and all that, I was all right.
Now, what kit were you issued with?
I was issued with a full naval seaman's uniform.
Now, what was that? What did you get then?
If
you remember. No, it's a long time ago.
We got two suits, jumpers and trousers. And we got 2 shirts, 2 collars, 2 silks, and one blue hat against white one. Yeah. A pair of boots. Socks, underwear. Quite a good issue.
And what you were going to say about preparing for kit inspections? How would you lay out everything?
Oh, you had a special order to lay it out. You had to learn that order. You only get shown once. And of course, then the officers come round and.
Would you get everything polished up? I mean, how much time would you spend on it?
It wasn't too much polishing that in the year, but just a matter of having it laid out properly on your bed.
And in a set way.
Yes, that's right.
And what would they do if they weren't happy with your kit?
You would get a punishment, extra work. You brought up before the divisional officer, and it's up to him what he would dish out.
Now, take me through a typical day's training at Collingwood. You say you got up early. What time did you get up?
Got up by 6, and. Get washed and shaved, and then you go for breakfast.
Now, what was the food like?
Well, it's very funny because when you first get there, the lads are very finicky. But after about 2 days, they rush to the table and grab the first one and see it. We didn't prepare the food or anything like that. There was special staff to do that.
And what was it like, as far as you were concerned, compared to the cooking?
I found it all right. You know, some of them perhaps might moan about this and that, but it was more about quantity more than quality.
So you wanted a lot, whatever it was.
Well, that's right, because you were doing exercises, you were doing training, and you seem to use up so much energy that you...
Now, what would you do after breakfast, then?
After breakfast, well, you would have... Thursdays and Sundays, you would prepare for divisions. Divisions was where your class marched around the very big square, and you take the commanding officer takes a salute, and very noticeable that the first intake or the last intake of into Collingwood, you would see them swinging their arms at the same time as their feet, and they look terrible, but the ones going out after they finish their training really look smart, you know, and they were all marching to the Royal Marine Band.
Now, how did you take to drill? You've not done
fine,
it before.
Fine.
What did you think of it? I mean,
I thought it was all right, fine. Yeah.
Did you understand why you had to do it at the time?
No, I think it was explained that you had to do this, you had to do that, and if you didn't catch on to that particular lesson, you didn't go back to it. What I mean is knots. And things like that, you'd have an afternoon on knots.
But drill, I mean, did you understand why it was important?
Oh, the drill, yeah. Oh, yes, yes. We had to do a bit of unarmed combat, and we also had to do rifle drill and bayonet drill.